understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, I just pray this, Lord, as we deal with this topic, that Father, you help us to receive it well. And Lord, with a mature and ready and obedient heart, that Father, each and every one of us may be better for having heard it. That Lord, we would strive to work as hard as we possibly can. Lord, in all the things that you've given us and all the things you've given us to do, that we may be found good stewards in your service. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'm going to preach on the dart. This is our series on the devil's darts, different things that can possibly affect you, that lead to whether sin. Some of them were emotions. Some of them are attitudes. And this one is definitely an attitude. And if I were to take any single last one of us, no doubt if you've got a dart in you, this one might be it. It might not be something you struggle with a lot. It could be something you struggle with every now and then, but I think almost everybody has struggled with this just a little bit. And that, of course, being the dart of laziness. You ever come to the end of the day and you go, whew, not much got done today. And I want to be clear before we get into this. Some of you have physical restrictions. Your doctor hollers at you for doing things, right? We're not talking about that, right? There are some of you just who have been here today, took a large amount of strain and effort that you'll spend most of tomorrow healing from. We're not trying to get people who physically can't to do stuff. That's not the purpose of this sermon, okay? So I don't want anybody feeling guilty because their body has. That is a natural thing when you get to a certain age and your body no longer can do certain things. We're not preaching that you're going to counteract the natural progression of age. But we are talking about the things we do have control over. The physical things that we are capable of, but for whatever reason, we don't do. So we're talking about laziness. And part of it, as we see here in verse 33, would be a personal type laziness, a laziness in you or I. We see this all over the place, and we can certainly, if we're honest, see it within ourselves. The very first indication we see of what laziness is a love of sleep there in verse 33. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth and thy want as an armed man. You ever meet somebody who just loves sleep a little bit too much? Now, honestly, don't we all like sleep? Sleep's nice. You get to the end of a day, whether you've worked really, really hard or maybe you just had a, you know, it's just the day. You get to about bedtime and your body starts wanting to go to sleep. You start to do that little eye flutter thing. You lay down and you relax and it feels good to sleep. But some folks get a little too much sleep. Right? They get that 10 hours. They get that 12 hours of sleep where you're in the bed for half the day. Now again, physical limitations aside, I'm not going to say that too often. I just want to be clear, right? So I don't want anybody coming up and saying, well, hey brother, I got a bad heart, a bad back, and my doctor says I can't do blah, blah. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about those of us that can, and we're still in the bed for 10 hours. Right? Hey, I got this big old long list of stuff to do today. So you sit down in the chair and watch the television. Right? Somebody told me, hey, you ever have so much to do you don't do anything at all? Wait, what? I got a big old to-do list and it stressed me out, so I didn't do any of it. So now tomorrow I've got double the amount of stuff. There's the solution for me to do less. Some people just get a little bit too much sleep. My brother used to lay in bed playing video games till about 3 a.m. and he'd sleep in till 2 p.m, wonder why he couldn't he couldn't keep a job. I had too much sleep, too much love for that sleep. That, you know what, that's pretty common nowadays for a lot of folks. Staying in bed for too long, staying up too late, sleeping in too late the next day. Disgustingly lazy, sleepy people all over. If you have the ability, you need to have a proper sleep schedule. I always say, well, you need to make sure you're getting your sleep. You know what? I know a lot of people that are getting their sleep, right? And when you schedule sleep, you need to schedule a time to go down, and you need to schedule a time to get up, especially for some of you folks who are retired. If you don't still set the alarm, I'm just going to warn you. Now, I've not lived it. You don't get up at a particular time in the morning, you're going to get slower and slower to get out of that bed. It's good to get up. It's good to get active. It drives me nuts sometimes. You see people coming out in their bathrobes at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and you know they don't work the night shift. Get dressed. All right, what are you doing? Right? Every now and then when the kids are struggling with their school, stop, get dressed, let's go, let's get out of sleep mode, and let's get into doing stuff mode. Right? If we get into this bedtime mentality all the time, if we're sleeping in too far into the next day, we're gonna have some issues. And look at these issues that we see that revolve around that. We're not taking care of what needs to be taken care of. We had a lady that we used to work with. She'd come in late all the time. Well, brother, maybe she was dropping her kids off. She didn't have any kids. Maybe she was having car troubles. She had a better car than I did, a fast car. She had one of those little Dodge things that got you everywhere you needed to go super fast. It wasn't the vehicle. It wasn't the kids. She didn't have kids. What was the problem? Well, I have a hard time getting up in the morning. I'll get up and I'll just lay in bed for a while. You've got a job. You're letting that go. Some people that have a hard time, well, you know what, I do this with the kids and I would do that with the kids, but I just get super tired in the morning, and by the time I get myself put together, the day's half past. You need to set that alarm. You need to get up. You need to get things going. You know what, I realized that my job worked a whole lot better when I would get there about 45 minutes before everybody else. Not 45 minutes early, 45 minutes before everybody else. If I beat my boss there, he couldn't bother me, and I could get my stuff set up for the day. I could drink a cup of coffee while I'm sitting there planning and scheming, and this is how we're going to do it. So by the time my boss is coming in, I've already got the day laid out. I've already got the staff out there. So they're like, hey, I want to talk about what we're doing today. It's not them telling me. I'm like, oh no, this is what we got covered today. I got all sorts of stuff done when I took care of it early. Listen, some of us, we love sleep just a little bit too much. And I tell you, I don't have a lot of really good positive things to say about Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he gave me one of the best bits of advice for personal scheduling I've ever heard. Right? He says, a lot of people think that you need 8 hours of sleep, 10 hours of sleep. He goes, no, you need six. Well, but you don't understand. No. You just need to sleep faster. And I've given that advice, and people have looked at me like I'm insane. Well, I need at least 10 hours of sleep. That is slothful living. You need to sleep faster. There's something wrong. You need to get the phone out of your bed. You need to get the television out of your bedroom. If you need 10 hours of sleep, you're sitting there for too long. Look at when you got in the bed. Look at when you got out of the bed. Count up the hours. That's too much time. Now, again, sleep is good. We need sleep. We need to restore the body, restore the brain, restore the body. We need that. But too much is a problem. Your body needs food. Too much of it becomes an issue. So we need to keep our love for sleep in its place. If God gave you mobility, God gave you able to get out of bed, get out of the bed. I knew a guy one time, he got to the point where his mobility was an issue. And in his fear that he would never get out of the bed, he'd get up every morning. And he'd move over to the chair. He'd have his family shuffle him over. He'd sit in the chair. And he'd get up, and he'd go back to the bed. And that's all the exercise his body would tolerate. But he knew that as long as he could do it, he was going to do it, because he didn't want to spend days upon days in that bed. So we need to be able to push ourselves. Yeah, but I get cranky. Well, we've talked about this before, haven't we? Guess what? Now you get to play a game. It's a very adult game. How long can I go through this day without anybody spotting that I'm cranky? Why? Because you're a grown up. Right? Well, I'm cranky. Well, I'm so sorry. You need a nap? Right? I knew somebody that, well, I get 8 hours of sleep and I always take a good 2-hour nap midway through the day. What is your life that you can get away with that? You don't have anything else to do? And you see it, you see very much the kind of lives that are developed here, where you look over and the fields are overrun and the house is all messed up, and you go to check in with them at work and they're the worst guy on the team. They're the last one to show up, and they're the first one to want to get out of there. They're the last one to come back from lunch. I had a guy, he didn't realize that I could double check to see how long he's been on break. He was taking an hour and a half long breaks thinking we wouldn't notice. I go, sir, I double check your time card every week.
Oh, oops, I didn't know that.
Like, if I did know that, that would be okay. Like, if I didn't check it, it'd be okay for you to do it. Just this idea of the longer I can do nothing, the better off and happier I am. Don't get into that mindset. How about a different kind of sleep? We're seeing a brand new kind of sleeping through the day that Michigan never had legalized before, but is now a thing. People sedating themselves in the morning. They get up and they'll have a little bit of marijuana. It used to be I couldn't even drive to work without passing six or seven cars reeked of marijuana. What are you doing? Right, you'll get people. We're in Southgate. We had food delivered one day at the height of the pandemic. We weren't going anywhere. We had food delivered. I picked up the bags and whoo! Look, it smelled like Willie Nelson dropped him off. Sorry for his musical career if that's where he fell, but it's rough. Why? Why are they doing that? Because they want to feel as relaxed as possible all day. Right? There's a reason why I don't let my kids at a certain age carry around blankets. You don't need that kind of thing. You should need to be comforted at an extreme level all the time. It is perfectly okay for you to be awake. And that's what they're doing. They're stoning themselves out before they go to school, stoning themselves out before they go to work. And they're just living that life of half sedation so they don't have to feel anything. Well, here's the thing. You stop yourself from feeling responsibility. You stop yourself from feeling a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of frustration. The moment that stuff hits you and you don't got that drug to make you feel good, you're going to collapse like a stack of cards. You will. Right? Why do we have such a big problem with people being able to tolerate anxiety and stress and things going on and workload? Why? Because we've sedated ourselves. We're used to sitting there watching television for 8 hours. We're used to popping pills the moment we feel something. We're smoking something the moment we feel anything at all. No, we need to be diligent. We need to be stronger than what we are to we're not either medically or non-medically sleeping through the day. Get up. Participate. And we see not just a love of sleep, but in the earlier part of this verse, we see a love of waste. Doesn't it just bother you? You'll be driving down the road and you'll see a house. You could tell it must have been beautiful at one point or the other, but you drive by that house and all the windows are broken. And the wood's cracked and ruined. And the roof's caving in. Now, that doesn't happen in a weekend, does it? That doesn't happen because you skip mowing your lawn, right? That's a long period of time where you're not taking care of things. And that makes me sad. We pass by something like that. Nobody can live it anymore because nobody cared for it, right? That's what happens in our lives. Now, you know what? I've met people, they've got pristine lawns, freshly painted houses every year. They get everything all well taken care of, but their families are falling apart because they never put the effort into it, because you can't hire somebody to come and paint up the issues in your family, right? They don't put the energy into it. They've got not just a love for sleep, but they have a love of waste. Proverbs 18 verse 9 helps us out here with, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Right? In verse 31 of our initial text here in chapter 24, we see that he maintains nothing. Now, what is the spiritual connotation to what he's talking about here? I think Solomon's actually talking about people who don't take care of their stuff. Right, I'm sure there's a spiritual connotation we can make there that we ought to be reading, we ought to be studying, we ought to be taking, but you ought to take care of your stuff. Now again, you don't have to have a lawn we could go play golf on, but you ought to take care of things. Right? If you've got something that the Lord has given you, you want to take care of it. Right? If you've got the money to change the oil in the car, change the oil in the car. My father-in-law, one of the best mechanics I've ever known, he pays to have somebody else change his oil. You know what? That's fine. Go ahead and do that. But get it done. Right? Get the chores taken care of. Have something that you're doing. Not that busyness will save you, but a lack of it will ruin you. You've got to take care of the things you've got to take care of. Many of us, we've got our checklist, things we've got to do that day. I've got to do this, I've got to do that. We need to make sure that we're getting prayed up and diving into the things that must be done. In this of not maintaining things, we waste so much. And again, we could talk about what we as a country do, but if I'm not taking care of things, I waste them. Let's take another look at the person who sleeps all the way through the day. If you're not taking care of what you need to be taking care of, if you're not being present with what's going on around you, you're going to miss out on time with your family. Now think about that. You know why? This person I had in my life for a long time, you know why? The kids, maybe it's the kids and they've moved out. And all that time I could have spent with them, I spent sitting there in the backyard, stretched out in the hammock or something like that, not participating, not being an active member of their lives. We miss out on opportunities. Hey, while the church was out doing this, I was sat up on my front porch taking a nap trying to talk myself into going into church that day. We need to be diligent. We need to be active. We need to be participants in maintaining the things that need to be maintained in our lives. We see not just this, the idea of not maintaining things, but some folks will even go so far as to let the things they have spoil. Their laziness just ruin things. Proverbs 12:27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Now here's what I see in my head. A hunter goes out and he gets up early in the morning. And he gets all of his gear together, throws it all on his back, and he goes out into the woods, and he's waiting all day in the cold. And finally he gets a shot at that buck or whatever it is he's hunting, and he takes it and he shoots it. And he's all proud of himself, and he gets his phone out, takes a picture of him and the animal. He's having a good old time, and he makes the effort to drag the animal over to the vehicle. And then he takes the effort to tie it all up, and then he brings it all the way home. And by that time, he's tired, so he goes to bed, leaves it in the back, and doesn't rope it up, doesn't string it out, doesn't start processing it, doesn't do any of the things you're supposed to do. So when he comes out the next morning, it's ruined. Why? Because it wasn't as precious to him as it would be if he was a diligent man. We used to go on those vacations. My dad, I don't know, he had a way of irritating my uncles. He'd go out, I'm going to go for a quick walk with the gun, come back with three deer somehow. He'd go out with two bullets, come back with four deer. I don't know. He'd come back and he'd always tell too, because he'd run. Only time I ever really saw my dad run was when he was playing softball when I was younger and he messed up his knees, so he stopped. So the only other time I'd see him do that is if he caught something, he was running back for the four-wheeler. You knew he'd have it. And you just kind of look over going, oh, we're not going into town today. We're going to have to string those deer. And it didn't matter if my dad was up till 3 in the morning. He'd be up till 3 in the morning stringing those deer, getting everything ready for him to process it. Why? Because it was precious to him. It mattered to him. We need to be of that same level of diligence to where we are not wasting our substance. Now, maybe your substance isn't food. Maybe your substance isn't belongings. Your substance most of the time is that time. We're allowing time to slip by. We're allowing opportunities to slip by because we're not being diligent. As the Bible said there, a little sleep, a little slumber. Hey, I'll take a nap first. Hey, I'll just stop and open my phone for a second. Hey, let me just turn on the television. I love the drawers in that desk there in the office because every single last one of them fit my phone in it just fine. It does. You sit there, all right, well, hold on. Danielle sent me a text message. I'll answer the text message. All right. You open it up. What's the email doing? What's the news doing? What's the weather tomorrow? And before you know it, you wasted 15 whole minutes doing absolutely nothing. Well, I was checking the weather. Yeah, you were checking the weather because what are you going to do in 2021 if you don't know what it's going to do tomorrow? Come on, Farmer McDonald, let's go. Right? You got big plans tomorrow you need the weather for? And you're just 15, 20 minutes sitting there. Duh, 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 duh. No, put that thing away. Close it up. I used to hire people, and that would be the first thing I would say. How are you with your phone? Oh, no, I'm really good. I never look at it. You know, I just have no time for it whatsoever. Day three, when they're starting to get comfortable with you, you see them sitting there scrolling around on their desk. I'm paying you to make money, not blow it. What are you doing? Right? Just that kind of a wasteful attitude. You're letting the daylight burn past you. Why? Because it wasn't as valuable to you as it would be if you were diligent. When we were kids, we'd go to Cedar Point. I always used to love those trips. And I used to ride with the people that love the roller coasters. Anybody, you love the roller coasters? I didn't at first when I was a kid. I didn't come to it until I was a teenager. I had a plan. I would download the map the night before. We would run, not walk, run to the back of the park so we could hit the biggest roller coaster before anybody else got there. Then, as we were running, I'd have two people looking at this side, two people. We would sit there and we would mark how long of a wait we're in those lines. And we'd work our way up while everyone was working their way back. So by the time we got to lunch, all we had left were some of the smaller roller coasters. We didn't care about the Gemini. We already hit the bigger rides on the way back. That was me, right? I was very militant. Not a lot of younger people liked hanging out with me. Some of the older teenagers, though, we were excited to get after it. We had a plan. We hit it. Why? Because we've only got a certain period of time. We'd have to get in the church van, head back to the church after a while. We had to be, those moments were precious to us. Right, you get some people, well, I want to sit down and go over here and eat this food. No, we're going to eat while we're in line. We're going to go. We had a plan. Why? Those moments were precious to us, so we were diligent with them. Hey, some of you, forgive the expression, I'm not trying to be rude. Some of you are running out of time. Right? Now, that's not an age thing. You could be here in your teens and be almost out of time. I don't know how much time I got. Right? For all I know, the oldest one among you are going to outlive me by 20 years. I don't know. You'll keep your promise. I didn't promise anybody I'd live for 20 years. Right? I don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how much time we've got left. Let's take advantage of it. Let's be sensible. Let's not be wasteful. Another thing that we see in here with the personal laziness, and this is number one, man, this drives me nuts, is a love of excuses. Why didn't that get done? Oh, well, you know, vernal equinox and the sun was right there. And of course, you know, the grass was just a little bit too long and blah, 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 blah. All these reasons why certain things can't get done. I talked to a guy one time. Hey, listen, you know, you're spending a really long time getting this apartment ready. What's going on over there? Oh, I've got this problem. I've got that problem. And I had to do this and I had to take this all apart. When I went to go do that, that broke. And I go, okay, that's reasonable. That's understandable. And every now and then I'd go in to check in on the guys, just kind of knock on the door real quick, pop it open. I popped the door open on this guy at least a dozen times, and he's sitting there on the floor looking at his phone. Oh, yeah, you're having excuses, aren't you? You're having problems. It's those things getting in the way, but those things are right here. You're making excuses. It wasn't too long before we had to let that guy go because he never quite got it that I wasn't paying him to produce excuses. Right? You ever hear that song, Excuses, Excuses? You'll hear them every day. The devil will supply them if from church you keep away. Go ahead and look that song up. That's a pretty good song. Now, most of you, you're good with your church attendance. Home church is good with that. But it is an entertaining song. So give that a listen to. It's pretty good. But listen, excuses, they don't do anything. You understand? Excuses, you can't fix anything with an excuse. You can't buy anything with an excuse. You can't repair anything with an excuse. Right? Only hard work does the job. Right? Think about some of the excuses that we would hear. Well, that's too hard for me. I saw a lady. We were over at the grocery store, and Danielle and I, we got this trick where if we're coming back from church, we need something from the grocery store, I'll drop her off at the front door, we'll swing back around, wait for her to come back out. Well, I'm sitting there waiting for her to come back out, and this lady comes out of her car, and this lady needed a lot of space. We'll just put it like that. Very, very kind. And she walked all the way to the far end of the lane to get one of those motorized scooters to drive it all the way up to the store. And from what Danielle tells me, she near run her over on the way in. I used to think that that was a wonderful thing. You'd go to the Walmart, there'd be people in wheelchairs, get up out of them to go grab stuff. You're like, that's a miracle! Now, I'm not making, I get it. Some people you have problems with, it helps, right? But in this particular case, if you can walk all the way, I get it, you're big, right? I get it. But at the same time, you know what would help with that? The walking. And that's from me. I know who's talking, right? You take it from me. That's the solution, right? You got to put the effort in. You got to put the work in, right? Well, it's too hard. It's not hard, too hard when there's something you want to do, right? Oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, hey, we're going over to this really exciting thing. We're going to go over and play some go-karts or something like that. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go. Got ya. Right? Oh, you can't get up out of the chair, but if the Oreos are on the top shelf, miracle. I'm just saying. Some of us, we have a love for excuses. The dozen reasons why we can't do easy things. And really, when it comes down to it, if we have to analyze those excuses, we understand that they are incredibly flimsy. Some people will pretend a danger. Proverbs 22:13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. Oh, it's too dangerous. Oh no, I'm too scared. Don't you understand? Get out of your house and get to work. Well, you know, I'm afraid that you have a big old storm coming in. We used to get that a lot too. We'd have a storm come in, a bunch of people. Can we go home? You're telling me that it's so dangerous you want to go drive in it. I'm not talking snowstorm, like lightning striking, water sideways, hurricanes blowing. Can we go home? You want to be in a car right now? Are you that lazy? You're willing to die just to get home? Like, how comfortable are your pajamas? That they were so afraid that we're willing to dive into the storm. Listen, we need to lay aside the excuses. We need to lay aside the silliness to where we make up things to be a problem. Right? That gets me going too. Well, all right, listen, we're going to go and we're going to do this. Well, how are we going to get there? Well, we're going to drive. Well, what are we going to drive? We're going to get gas. What if it's raining? What if a bug hits the windshield? What is it, goose season? We might run into some of those. It's excuse after excuse after excuse to make small problems seem like the reason why we can just sit back and do nothing. Let's be brave. Let's put some effort into it instead of letting our excuses to take over. So that's personal laziness. Let's get off of that and let's look at something on a more grand scale. National laziness. Hey, America's, we're getting there. We are really getting there, aren't we? Well, we're starting to see some scary stuff. Brother Dennis is back there, amen. And he's seen some of the national laziness we've got going on, right? Where people just, they don't want to work. They don't want to be responsible for what they have and what they do, right? Every now and then I'll go through the store, and it wasn't until I worked at Toys R Us that this ever really bothered me, brother. When people would get something, put it in the cart, and put it back in a random spot. Now, I'm going to have to confess that when I was a teenager in high school, that was hilarious to me. I would go and do things like I would go get the donuts and take them over to like the fitness section. I would take health magazines, put them over by the donuts. I was equal opportunity on this gag. One particular time at a Kroger, I got some balloons. You guys know what Finding Nemo is? Took some of the little fishy, like the Finding Nemo balloons. I marched those right on over to the fish section, put that into the display like they meant for it to be there. It was right there by the lobster. I thought that was funny. But it wasn't until it really bothered me. Why on earth did you put that in your cart to march it all the way over here and leave it in some random spot? Right, and it would always be something that drive me. I pick it up, have to take it back over to where it goes, and put it there. We see small scale stuff like that a lot more often now, don't we? It is. It gets to the point to where we used to sit there and say, "Well, isn't it nice that they got cart corrals? Now nobody wants to use the cart corrals anymore." Remember back when gloves and masks first became a really big thing? What did you find covering every square inch of the parking lot? I rip those off, put that down there, throw it away, Right? I think about people who are smokers that throw their cigarette butts everywhere. Used to be my job in the apartment community. I did grounds. I'd walk around. I'd sweep that stuff up. Where do those people think those things go? They think they just disappear? No, we're just throwing stuff out there. Why? Because taking care of things properly is too difficult. We've really reached a grand scale with our laziness when you can't even go out to eat and they be staffed anymore. More and more people are sitting at home than I think we've ever had before in this country. We are spoiled. Now listen, we worked hard to get to where we are as a country. We worked hard to be able to have the things we have nowadays. The fact that some people who don't have as much can be given to supplement, I think is a great blessing for a country to be able to do. I think the amount of effort that we've put into our infrastructure and the things that we've built was great. But we're resting on our laurels now. We're expecting the work that was done before to carry us through. And some people are carrying on through wanting to do nothing, not understanding that they're able to do so because of the great things that happened before. They don't realize that those are not just naturally occurring things. Right? You hear people say, well, health care is a right. And you know what? I would love the idea of everybody who's ever gotten sick to be able to be taken care of regardless of their ability to pay. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? But things have to be paid for somehow. We can't just sit there and make grandiose statements about how things should be free, having no idea how they're to be paid for. What was it? AOC's New Green Deal. All right, it was going great. She would preach that thing. She was excited about that thing. But she'd get angry every time somebody'd ask where the money was supposed to come from it. Well, the government would be her answer. The government's supposed to... What? Well, the government gives us the money. No, we give the government the money. Right? They just print the dollar bills. No understanding of inflation, no understanding of the country's economy, no understanding of a working economy at all, and yet we're still making grandiose plans like that. We've got so many people sitting at home right now, it's insane. Most wanting more of a handout than a hand up. You know that old saying, give a man a fish and he'll eat for the day, teach a man to fish and he'll eat for the rest of his life. Right? Now, first of all, fishing's not that hard. You shouldn't have to think that much hard on it. But anyway, that's kind of the idea. I'm okay with feeding people. I'm okay with paying some bills. I'm not okay with that being your career plan. Right? There are people out there I've known. They struggled. They got some help. I think a lot of people have been there. They struggled. They got some help. They kept working. They kept pushing. They got themselves out of it. I've got certain family members. They've been on it for 30 years, and the hardest thing that they've ever had to do is go out and get a job every now and then, get injured on the job so they can sit at home. I'm talking about the dishonest people, right? A lot of honest people, a lot of people that deserve it, but I'm talking about the cheaps, the scapes, the people just wanting to get off on something, get away with something. We shouldn't have that in our society where people are willing to take from people that need it so that they don't have to. You understand? I'm okay with people who need it. I'm okay with taking care of people who need it. I'm not okay with people who cheat the system. Again, knowing somebody in particular that would get a job, fake a back injury at the job so they could go on disability and Social Security. And then when that would run up, they would go get another job, fake a back injury, always a back injury, get the disability, get this. And you got to think, you've got to be one of the most unsure-footed people, most clumsy people I've ever met to consistently hurt your back 3 days into the job. Almost day three, you almost want to call them and say, hey, how'd you hurt yourself today? Right? It's sad. More people wanting a handout than a hand up. People who want a hand up, they need a little bit of help for a while. Maybe a couple years, maybe a little bit here and there. People wanting a handout, they never want to actually have to produce. Those are the kids that call every few months saying, hey, we need a little bit of a loan. And that loan never gets paid back. Right? Those are the people who never want to put any effort in, never want to put any work in, but they sure want to be taken care of. There's more and more people wanting something for absolutely nothing. And that's sad to me. Along with it is this increased desire for socialism. Now, if we look at what socialism is, it's not what a lot of people think that it is. At least it's not what a lot of people want, right? Can we just do this? We'll play a little game. Wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have a gas bill anymore? That'd sure be nice, wouldn't it? Hey, thank you. How about an electric bill? Oh, that'd be good too. Medical bills. Never get a medical bill again. Never have to pay for a prescription drug. Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it? How about free college? Yeah, I love free college. Oh, that would be wonderful. But you got to pay for things. And socialism, one of the first things they do is they got that idea of seize the means of production. If we can make food cheaper or free, and we can make utilities cheaper or free, and goods or services like medical care free, college free, right? We can take care of it. We can have a more sustainable society where people can have more opportunities. But if no one's paying the bill, how do we get college professors in the classrooms? How do we get doctors into the hospitals? Nurses? Well, the government will. Well, where's the government going to get the money? Well, they'll tax us. Or they'll just print it. Now, if you look over in South America, those countries that toyed with socialism, they chose the print the money option. And they're eating dirt. That's not even being mean. They're eating dirt. They're eating shoe leather, right? They ran out of shoe leather. They ran out of animals, right? They're fist fighting over the last chicken in the town, right? We had a taste of it, right? When COVID, we started losing some of our options there. What do you think's going to happen among people when you go to the Meijer, you go to the Kroger, and you can't find chicken? Right? Brother Dennis, you don't have to talk, but what kind of a day is it going to be when people show up over there and they can't get the things they want? No chicken, no beef, no pork. It's not going to be great. Well, if I can't pay the farmer, well, the farmer should just do it and the government should just pay. That's not how it works. It's an ecosystem. If we eat up all the money in this or that, we don't build, we don't pay into it, right? And I'm not one to sit there and say that capitalism is perfect. It's not. It's got huge aching flaws, right? But it's much better to fix something than for us to throw it away and have nothing at all. And that's the idea. If we can make basic things free, it'll be a lot easier. Well, we increased unemployment. We've increased unemployment for a long time. We've done away with evictions. We've gone away from foreclosures. You can't kick people out of their houses. And how's that going for us? Not well. The only people closer to bankruptcy and the only people who's really ever suffered would be the people who have. And what happens if you make the people who have suffer long enough? They start to have not. I've known a lot of people. I've reached out to them. Hey, how's everything going? You still doing good? People who had financial investments into the business I used to work in. And they say, Matt, we're about to pull out. Why? Because they're being penalized for owning a business. Well, they've got a lot of money. You don't have a lot of money if we don't pay them. Well, my boss is rich. He's not going to be rich. Right? And well, that's fine. I'm okay with him not being rich. Okay, but him having money is how you get money. He has money, so he has a business to make more money. And from that, he's able to pay you. Well, yeah, but the government's giving me a check to sit home. We don't understand that we're crumbling things to the ground with our laziness. I hear a few thoughts that I picked up recently. Socialism is no longer a parlor game for academics, but a political alternative taken too seriously. And that's what it was. You'd get a bunch of these Harvard boys, a bunch of these people from Brown University, and they would sit there in their smoking jackets with their daddy's cigars. Oh, well, we could do this and we could do that. Blah, blah, blah. And it was an academic game. But whenever it was put into practice, it never worked. It never worked out the way that they thought it would. Well, because we haven't tried it. We're not much more intelligent here in America than they are anywhere else. All right? If you can't pull money out of a hat, if they can't pull money out of a hat, you're not going to be able to pull money out of a hat. The whole system only works if money doesn't exist the way that we understand it to. I like this one too. They don't recognize that much of what they enjoy in life is a result of capitalism and would disappear if socialism were to be implemented. I saw somebody, they were, I don't know if they were joking or teasing or whatever, but they were sitting in a coffee shop with an Apple computer sitting in front of them, very nice clothing on, very expensive glasses on, had a nice pair of shoes on, talking about how capitalism is ruining America. You wouldn't have the computer sitting in front of you. You wouldn't have the shoes on your feet. You wouldn't be able to sit in that particular coffee house if somebody didn't go out with their own money, start a business, and open that up for you to come in and enjoy. The idea, how they hook kids in with this, is the idea of things will be free. It's not fair that it's not free for you. Without the idea of it's better to fix what's broken, all right? We got people skimming on their taxes, let's address that. We've got people with dirty business practices, let's address that as well, right? How do I handle a business? Do I have the government come and run it the way I think it's fair? No, I just don't go there until they straighten themselves out. You vote with your dollar, that's how it works. I don't want your business to survive, no, my dollar's for you. And when we really look at the heart of what it is that a lot of people want, it's not really socialism. It's a freeness. It's kind of developed away from a governmental or economic structure, and it's become a pseudo-religion grounded in pseudo-science and enforced by political tyranny. That's it. I were talking to Brother Charlie. Brother Charlie goes, well, if all they're making is money, don't they realize eventually they run out? Yes, once they've got it all. That's the way it works. Who cares about the country? I'll take as much as I can out of it and be okay. I made that joke about good old Hunter Biden and his anonymous by invitation only art auction. Again, if you could figure that out, please explain it to me, how you could be both anonymous and invited by me at the same. Well, he just won't know who bought what. Okay. Does it matter as long as I get the money? I guess it doesn't, right? If I invite 10 of my best friends and they all give me $500,000, it really doesn't matter who bought what, does it? But all the same, they're just the idea. They don't care. They don't care that they're doing some seriously sketchy things. They just care about the money in their pocket. We could sit there and look at Joe Biden and make all the jokes and make all the things we want about him. We can hate a politician's guts, but if they retire with $1 billion in the bank account from all these little fringe benefits, they're not going to care. They don't. Right? I like beef just as much as anybody, but do you think the butcher cares about what the cow thinks about him? You're not in that job for very long if you get to thinking about it. Brother Tim, I don't know. I don't know if you ever stopped an animal real quick and said, hey, before I slaughter this thing or before I cut it up into bits, I want to know what this cow thinks about us doing this. You don't get in that. That's how they feel. We're cattle. We're sheep. They don't care. All they know is if we set up a system where we are the head of it, and we make big financial decisions, and all the power and all the money belongs to the government, we win. And if it falls apart, or if it succeeds, it doesn't matter. I've got the money in my bank. And you look at all these people, the only people who've ever made out from socialism was the dictator that they put in charge, was the form of elite that they put in charge. Sometimes it's one person, sometimes it's a tribunal, doesn't matter. They get rich, they disappear. And that's it. So we're looking at this, and what we're looking for is a way to get out of work, but what we're buying is poison. And this is led on a wide scale to lead to shoddy performance, low quality, and poor consistency. We had our in-laws in, so we went out to eat. We went over. My father-in-law wanted Mexican, so we went to that Puerto Vallarta down there in Flushing. Very nice. Every time we'd order from them or we'd gone there once or twice, they took care of us. They were very attentive, very neat. We walked in, and it's not like you could miss us. There was 8 of us. Nobody even gave us a head nod. We stood there for a good 10, 15 minutes. Nobody there. Our waitress, midway through the meal, disappeared. We had to go get the check. If we were of a dishonest mind, we could have walked out without it and no one would have blinked. There was nobody checking in on us, nobody taking care of us. At one particular point, somebody asked for a box. 10 minutes later, I saw my father-in-law walk over, grab the box, and just come back to it. Why? Things are falling apart. Now, can I sit there and blame the waitresses and waiters that were there? I don't know. Maybe they were working for the 10th hour straight today so far. Maybe they're all busted up from all the work being done, right? And they're understaffed and they're not taking care. Why? Because people are sitting at home. Maybe that's the case. But all the same, we're looking at some shoddy workmanship nowadays. Right? We've made this illusion before. Go out and buy an appliance nowadays. They make those things to break. They make those things to fall apart. The cell phone in your pocket, if you've got anything other than what Brother Charlie's got, this is only built to survive for a year and a half. They designed this so that you hate it a year and a half into your 2-year contract. So when they reach out to you and they say, hey, listen, you're due for an upgrade, you jump on it. And what do? They mess with your contract. They design things to purposely be useless. Back in the day when they built a refrigerator, it was a contest to see how long they could make that thing go. Right? Some of you got refrigerators right now that have been there longer than I've been alive, will be there longer than I'm dead. It's just, that's the way they built it. We do things to be lazy, to be less. You go to buy something, you'll bring it home, it'll break in 2 days. Not just because it was designed that way, but maybe there was a missing screw. Maybe the person who put it together didn't do it so well. It's almost kind of like a statement I would always have when we take something out of the box that'd already be broken. Well, there it is. That's somebody's first day right there, or maybe somebody's last day. So what do we do? How do we fix it? Well, Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go there with me if you don't mind. Proverbs 6:6. The cure for personal and national laziness. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep. Here we go again with this. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, do you understand why repetition's in the Bible? So we get it. Because we might have missed it the first few times. Right? So that exact phrase is repeated and repeated. Why? Because this is a father talking to his son. Now, for any of you who've ever raised kids, you understand what that's like. I'm going to tell you once, I'm going to tell you probably 1,000 times. The same exact thing. Right? My parents used to say this to me, and I'll say it to my kids from time to time. You must love hearing me say this. And that's kind of how I get out of Solomon here. You're going to love hearing me talk like this, because I'm going to say it again and again and again. Get a little sleep, a little slumber. So what do? We need to go to the ants. All right, my basic advice is this. Don't need a boot to the rear to get your boots on. Some folks need it. All right, let's get to work. You know what? We just need another cup of coffee, quick little stretch, right? For us, work started at 8. And if you're still in there by 8:20, I'm writing you up, was my opinion. I had a boss before I took over that particular place. They'd be sitting there till 10 o'clock in the morning, drinking coffee and talking. 2 whole hours of nothing. We had the one young person on the crew out cleaning up the grounds. And we're talking like a 500-unit property, 3 or 4 acres worth of land, out there with a little stick just picking up garbage while everybody else who was supposed to be out there doing it sat there drinking coffee talking about how long they've been working there. Some guy goes, well, you have to understand how long I've been here. I go, not counting tomorrow, please tell me. How long have you been here? Not counting tomorrow. Because that's ridiculous to me. Get after it. Right? Well, what do you do for motivation? You shouldn't need motivation. Listen, motivation will come and go. I shouldn't need a pep squad to get out of bed. Right? Now listen, our mornings is difficult, isn't it? We got this little home gym down in the basement. I was working out last night. I got up this morning, and you know what? It took me a second. Oh man, I felt it in my legs. I was telling Brother Mark in the back, I still can't make a fist. I hung my punching bag up. I can't make a fist, man. You know, I sit there, I look at that, I go, it's difficult to get up. Did I sit there and did I research motivational techniques to get out of bed? Did I get on YouTube and have somebody holler at me to get out? No, I got up. Why? It's time to get up. Alarm's going off. Let's go. All right, let's get going. Let's push ourselves. You know what? I've got an alarm clock. And if you need help getting out of bed, let me tell you how it works. It's a little app on my phone called Alarmy. And what I can do is I can set it to make me do math problems. I could set it to make me write. I could set it to make me go somewhere in the house and take a picture of something. The way I've got it set up is there's a barcode. I took a little UPS or UPC label off of a box, put it onto something, put it on my coffee machine. My phone shuts down and hollers at me until I go and scan that code in the kitchen. Right? So if you can't get up in the morning, you get that. You'll get up. It doesn't have a snooze button. Just yells at you. Right? I went to go shut my phone off one time. It turned back on. Beep, beep, beep. You think about, if you need help, get it. Get up. You should, well, I don't feel motivated. You're not going to feel motivated all the time. You need to get used to the idea that you're going to have to do something feeling grumpy. You're going to have to do something feeling tired, feeling worn out. Right? It was, well, you know, I have a hard time. We all have a hard time. Get after it. Right? I would say that every morning. It's almost one of the things I'm always saying in the house. All right, let's get after it. Let's go. What are we doing? Come on, move, move, move. Let's put some effort into this thing. You shouldn't need a boot to the rear to get your boots on. Stop laying around. Set some goals. Push yourself to achieve those goals. Quit messing around. All right, those goals, you got to push yourself. Achieve those goals for the Lord. Achieve those goals for your family, for your workplace. Yes, put some effort into it. You know what I realized when I was working? The better I did, the better I got paid. If you made money, I made money. And I did. My boss would sit there at the end, and we were doing reports one time. He goes, all right, your income is up this percent, right? So now you can give raises at this percent. I go, well, we were projected at a smaller number. He goes, yes, but you did better, so now people make more money. So you know what I did? I went back to the guys and said, hey, listen, you guys worked this much harder. Now you get to have the opportunity to make this much more money. And as it turns out, people love that stuff. I know I did. That's great. All right, let's make some money. Let's put some effort into it. If I work as a team in the job does better. If I work as a team in my neighborhood, all right, great things happen. Let's put some effort into it. If I put some effort into the church, great things happen. There are some men there I've planned out to come over tomorrow morning. So if you have the opportunity, what time are you getting? 8 in the morning or something like that? 8 o'clock in the morning to fill some cracks in there. We got some sand over there. Come on in. Now why? Why should I have to do it? Well, don't you like a nice parking lot? Don't you like the idea of coming into the church and not seeing weeds and stuff growing all over inside? I hate driving by churches and seeing weeds growing out of the gutters, right? Or growing in the parking lot. That's the Lord's parking lot. That's not my parking lot or your parking lot. That's the Lord's parking lot. Let's get that taken care of. All right, let's set some goals. Let's achieve some things. Now, I like this one too. Put in the work, collect the paycheck. If I sit in my house and I do none of the chores, I'm not going to have a clean dish when I need a clean dish, right? That's a very easy thing to understand. No dish, you don't do the dishes, no clean dishes to be had. Very easy. Had a roommate like that, never liked to do the dishes. Hated the fact that we had cockroaches, but he didn't like to do the dishes. Oh, it's gross. All right, if you ever go off to college and you're in a dorm, make sure your dorm person's a clean person. It's gross. He'd always used to go find stuff in his job, bring it back, and that's how he'd get bugs in. He'd go clean out these houses for them to flip them, and instead of throwing stuff on the side of the road or in the dumpster like he was supposed to, he'd find something he'd like, bring it back to the dorm. We had bugs all the time, all different kinds of gross stuff, but I don't clean, I got a dirty house. I don't put gas in the car, I'm stalled on the side of the road. I don't read my Bible, I'm going to struggle today. That's how that happens. Put some effort into it, right? All right, what's the reward for reading my Bible? What's the paycheck for reading my Bible? Understanding, peace, calm, wisdom. Isn't that nice to have those things? Well, there's no prize. I don't get to put a sticker on anything. That's not what we're doing it for. When I put in the work, I get to reap the rewards of it. If I work on my spiritual strength, I become stronger spiritually. You earn the reward for what you do. You sit on the couch, you stare at that television, your brain's going to rot like your mama told you it would. That's just it. Sitting there staring at your phone, staring at the computer for hours on end, doing nothing other than just scrolling through useless bits of information. Come on, what do you think is going to come of that? Instead, it is best for us to put effort into the Great Commission. It is better for us to put effort into our spiritual growth. Well, I was too busy today to crack the Bible. You're lying. Busy coming up with that excuse. Because honestly, if we take a look at what it is we spend time on, we get a better picture. I think what we do is we get to the end of the day and we forget the fact that we wasted 2 hours doing something that wasn't important that day. Right? If you've got 2 hours to sit there and watch the television, you better have read your Bible. You better have prayed. You better have taken care of your spiritual responsibilities. You should have given the gospel at least once today before you went to bed. You know, D.L. Moody, he wouldn't go to bed without giving the gospel. The story's told about one time he was laying in bed, realized he failed at his duty, got up, got dressed again, ran out to go find somebody. Now, is that true or not? I don't know. D.L. Moody and I never hung out. But I get the principle there. I do. If I've got all this time to do all this useless things that'll have no heavenly good whatsoever, I better have taken care of the heavenly things first. Now, we can. We can sit there and pop some popcorn, have a movie night. We can go and have some vacation, and we can go and have some fun and pull out the board games and maybe get on the kayak and go out and have a good time. It's important for us to have leisure, but it can't all be rest. You understand? Rest implies you did something, right? It should, right? Well, today's a rest day. You've had 365 rest days so far. When are we going to have a work day? When are we going to have a study day? When are we going to have a planning day? We need to work. We need work in order to live. And you know what? We will always be rewarded based on what we do or what we don't do. I like how Paul put it, for those that refuse to work, they don't eat. When our country was founded, that was one of the principles of coming and having a pioneer-type lifestyle. You didn't work in the community, you didn't eat. You didn't take your turn on the watch, you didn't take your turn out there on the hunting range. If you didn't do what you were supposed to do, you can go. And that ought to be our mentality. If you can't put in the effort, what are you doing here? And I like this one too, to whom much is given, much is required. You know what's going to eventually happen? We're going to run out of laurels to rest on. We are. The infrastructure is going to crumble enough. There won't be enough farmers. There won't be enough teachers. There won't be enough people out there to handle medical needs. No optometrists, no dentists, no nothing of the things that matter. We'll just have a garbage ton of YouTubers and Instagram stars, and that's what we'll have. We won't have preachers. We'll have little preacherettes. Teaching little sermonettes, dancing around like marionettes, right? The people with the biggest pocketbook and the biggest mouths just telling them what to do. We don't want that. We need a heritage of labor, a heritage of work, one that's not afraid to do things, but it all starts on the private level. I get up and I pray. Why? Because that's what I owe the Lord. I get up and I read my Bible and I study. Got so excited, I got a brand new Bible dictionary in there, a little handbook in that. I was so excited about that. King James on it from the Tyndale Publishing House. I'm excited about that. That's going to be 3 or 4 months worth of work right there, me pulling that thing apart. I'm going to love that. Right? Why? Why do I do that? Does it matter? Not in the long run, but it does to the Lord, so here I am. Right? Well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to study. Yeah, the pastor is supposed to study. You know who else is supposed to study? Everybody else. Why am I supposed to be so important? Come on. I can tell you, if you don't study, I don't have to. That's why a lot of churches make a lot of money right now. Because church members don't study. Pastor doesn't have to study. He says whatever he wants. You need to study. And I'll stay honest because the Lord will take me out if I'm not. But all the same, let's study. Let's work. Let's make less excuses and let's produce more. Heavenly Father,